Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
There's one reason that I'm standing up on this stage today. That's because of my Lord up above. I got to say thanks to Jesus. He knew I was going to do it, and I got to do it.
Churches can show the Super Bowl on big screen TVs this coming Sunday without fear of violating copyright laws.
Family Planning Services reduced cost. Contraception will reduce cost to the state and to the federal government.
So no apologies for that.
No apologies, no.
We need you to feed the good wolf within you, to listen to the better angels of your nature, and by your example, encourage us to do the same. Mr. President, tag, you're it.
Probably the oldest criticism, and the one with the most dubious foundation, that I, as a Lutheran pastor here, the criticism is, and it, oddly, you know, these criticisms used to come from outside the pale of the Lutheran Church. Lutherans have no teaching on sanctification. They never talk about good works. They are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, and there really is a big gaping blind spot or hole in Lutheran theology. Those criticisms used to come from outside the pale of Lutheranism, from people, Protestant denominations, others, who simply didn't fully understand the Lutheran teaching on justification and sanctification. Now those criticisms, sadly, are coming from within the pale of Lutheranism, from apparently Lutherans who don't understand the Lutheran teachings on justification and sanctification either. But is it true? In any sense, is it true? Does an emphasis on justification, our salvation, solely through grace, solely undeserved, all of what Jesus did, none of what I do, does it rule out a teaching on good works? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. On this Friday, January the 30th, Brent Kuhlman kicks things off. We'll talk about good works. He's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled, "The Lord Has Good Use for You." A little later in the program, Pastor Bernie Shea will join us of Trinity Lutheran Church in Cove, Texas, to talk about soldiers and their families. And then in the second hour of the program, two big hitters, Dr. Alan Carlson will talk about sex and the decline of Western civilization. And then we'll conclude our series on biblical examples of preaching today. Peter preaching after the healing of the lame man. That's today's Friday's program here on Issues Etc. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled, "The Lord Has Good Use for You." Brent, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you.
Does the Reformation and Lutheran emphasis on salvation as central to all Christian doctrine somehow edge out or leave little room for biblical teaching on good works?
No. In fact, it gives a lot of room for good works. One of the reasons why our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us is so we can be of service to our neighbor. You know, there's that passage in Ephesians 2 that we all know so well, you know, that we're saved by grace through faith, by God's grace alone. But it's verse 10 that says, "We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do."
Does this somehow, is it a tension? Where, yes, your salvation is everything that Christ did for you, but good works follow. Is there a but between justification and sanctification?
Well, not necessarily a but. It's an and, because the good works of love for the neighbor are fruits. They are fruits of faith in Christ Jesus. You see, at the time of the Reformation, the theological matrix went like this. You're on a continuum. You're on a ladder from vice to virtue, or from sin to sanctification. And so for the medieval church, and even to this day for a lot of people, salvation is a matter of being sanctified or holied. And so your whole entire life then was looking at how you were doing on the ladder. Am I getting better and better? Is my life getting holier and holier? And when Luther discovered the gospel in the scriptures, that salvation is completely God's work done for us in Christ Jesus, and that you are holy for Christ's sake and through faith in him, then that freed him, and it freed all Christians. And this is one of the reasons why the Reformation took deep root all over Europe. It freed him and all Christians who took this biblical truth and took their attention away from themselves, instead then to serve the neighbor in love. And that's what I mean. It's an and.
I think you've touched upon something that many of our listeners might find altogether unfamiliar. They assume that, you know, once you're saved, the goal then really is moral progress. And your task, at least in part as a Christian, is to keep track of it, you know, to be able to track and plot and plan for better moral behavior in the future. After all, how are you ever going to know that, number one, you're really a Christian, number two, you're staying with the program? How would you
respond? You know you're a Christian because Jesus died for you. You know you're a Christian because he put his name on you in holy baptism. You know you're a Christian because he feeds you his body and blood in the Holy Sacrament. The other stuff, the fruit, what we're talking about here, good works, we'll let the Holy Spirit take care of that. I'm not going to keep score because that will always lead me into despair. I can never know if I've done enough. But again, fruits. These are fruits of the Spirit. Paul speaks about this in Galatians. You see, God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. And so, sometimes people ask me, well, Pastor, I'm saved, so now what? Now what should I do? Well, I say, well, the Lord has good use for you. You are to be his hands and mouth in the world to help people. So like I visited a shut-in the other day in a nursing home, and she was just all upset about, I can't do anything here. What can I do, Pastor? I said, well, you can pray. You've got lots of time to pray. I wish I had the time to pray that you do. You've got all day. Your church needs your prayers, your pastor, our society, our country. So pray. You're like Saint Anna in the temple, waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, pray. And that was the good use that the Lord has for this woman, and for all of us, too, for that matter.
What is a good work defined as Scripture would define a good work?
Of course, these things come through faith in Jesus Christ, and things that God commands us to do through faith in Jesus, those are good works in God's eyes. If you know, you might do what you consider to be a good work, but if it's not commanded by God and if it's not done in faith in Jesus Christ, it's not a good work in God's eyes.
Is it possible for someone to at least outwardly adhere to the commandment, but, I mean, two men doing the same thing, and for all outward observation, their activities appear identical, giving money to the poor.
Yeah.
Is it possible for one man to be doing a good work and another man to be sinning in precisely the same outward actions?
Well, the one who does the good works through faith in Christ Jesus, that's a good work in God's eyes. The one who might be an unbeliever and does the same thing, like giving money to the poor, that's a good work in the eyes of man. And in this world, this is the point, and in this time it is. It's helpful. But you know how sinners are. They'll turn these good works into a bookkeeping job before God and say, well, see what I did?
Okay, then when Christians say, I mean, otherwise well-meaning Christians say, look, okay, I'm not going to keep track of my good works so much, but I'm really doing them for the crown that waits beyond the gateway of heaven. I'm doing it for reward. I want to stack up as many rewards for myself in heaven. Or perhaps I'm doing it to avoid some kind of eternal punishment. Are those good works?
That's a dangerous way to think and to believe. You remember in Matthew 25, the sheep, Jesus says, whatever you did unto the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. And they said, when did we do that? They weren't keeping any score. See, when it comes to works that the Lord has good use for us as his hands and mouth in this world, we just do it. And sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. I mean, just being a father, doing your fatherly duties, the everyday, ordinary stuff of being a father. Like in my case, one of the things I do every morning is I have to get breakfast for my family. Sometimes I have to drive my kids to school. Sometimes I have to pick up one of my children who gets sick and bring them home and then take care of them. this is what it's all about. I'm not keeping score. I'm just doing it. Why? Because of the need. I don't care about what God may give me at the end of time in heaven with eternal rewards. I don't do that. It's just the neighbor has the need. And so the Christian is free to act on that need and to be of help.
Is it like this? Jesus has taken care of all my need for good works and righteousness and holiness with his own.
Right.
So everything that flows as fruit from that holiness of Christ, everything that flows out there isn't flowing out so that I can use it, but so that my neighbor can be benefited by it.
That's correct. And for the benefit of this world. Now, we're not about creating utopias. We know that that can't take place. But Christians will work. Let's say, for instance, a student wants to become a doctor.
About 30 seconds here.
Okay, he studies the discipline of medicine so that the Lord can use him to be of benefit for people in this world. If they get sick, the doctor can help, prescribe the proper medicine, the proper procedures. And that's what the Lord has good use for us. That's just one example.
Well, when we come back, it's called Christian freedom. Now, most people, when they think freedom, don't think about looking at the needs of one's neighbor and acting accordingly. That's not freedom. That's servitude, isn't it? Well, Christian freedom is service, and Christian service is freedom. It's actually freer than anything you could ever devise for yourself. We'll also talk a little bit about so-called, well, what Luther used to call self-invented works or man-made works that so often glitter and sparkle as though they are so good and great in our eyes and in the eyes of the world, and yet before God do not count as good at all because they are done apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is my guest, and we'll be talking with him more on the other side of the break about good works.
Working for a living. I'm working for a living. Whoa, whoa, working for a living. Whoa, whoa, taking what they're giving. Whoa.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Look around you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is our guest. We're talking about good works. In about 10 minutes, Pastor Bernie Shea will join us. We'll talk about soldiers and their families. He's written an article for Higher Things magazine titled A Call to Defend. Pastor Kuhlman, before you were talking about good works as things commanded by God, and in the Reformation, Luther spends quite a bit of time criticizing what he calls self-invented works. What was he talking about?
Well, for instance, like becoming a monk or a nun. People in his day were told that's a God-commanded work, a divine command, and you must do this in order to be more holy than when you were baptized. Well, the more he studied the scriptures, there was no divine command like that. And so that was a self-chosen or self-invented work to try and work out your salvation on that continuum from vice to virtue or sin to sanctification. Now, a divine work or a commanded work would be like honor your father and mother, fourth commandment. There's something that God wants you to do, and that includes all other earthly authorities, which would include police officers, judges, etc. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I can hear someone saying, okay, honor your father and mother. That's very general. That there's nothing specific there. I want how to. I want some specific kind of bullet point items that say, all right, this is what we need you to do this week. And, of course, it will all fall under the rubric of honor your father and mother. Why so general? There's so much latitude there.
Because the commandment begins with the word honor. Because behind mom and dad stands God himself. God uses mom and dad to take care of the kids and the family. So when mom and dad say, do your homework, take out the trash, clean your room, change the oil in your car, that's the Lord talking to you. He's telling you to do this. So you want to be specific? When mom and dad, when they say things that are correct and God-pleasing, this is the Lord talking to you to get this work done. And this is how God gets things done in the world. Because, you know, the tennis shoes and the cheeseburgers and the french fries don't fall from the sky. God gives them to you through moms and dads.
You've named one of those things that Luther would have called a vocation, a
right.
Calling in life. Does everyone have one or more of these?
Yeah, you have a calling to faith in Christ Jesus. And let's take me, for example. I have a calling to be a father, a husband, a pastor, a son, a brother, a grandson. I also work for the school. I drive school bus. I substitute teach. And I coach basketball. So I've got all those vocations in one life. And they can change.
Do they ever? I mean, I know life is messy. But do these vocations ever come into conflict with one another?
Yeah, they can. That can happen in this sinful world in which we live. And sometimes you do have to make a choice. But that's life. That's just the way it is. You commend it to the Lord. Say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Bless it.
I think that many Christians feel more secure if they're on that, as you called it, kind of the ladder from vice to virtue. If they have the tiny, minute bullet points, they say, okay, now I know what I'm supposed to do. I can check it off my list every week. And again, it kind of helps me measure my moral progress in all of this. And what you've described here by way of really Christian freedom, we could also call it Christian latitude as long as we're operating under the commands of God, doesn't feel as secure. Why is this?
Because when you're told what to do, as you mentioned, that's safe and secure. But the problem with all that is it's all a life of self. It is a life that is curved in on oneself. It's easy to take care of yourself, to live for number one and make sure you're doing everything right for yourself. But to live for other people, that's when the old Adam is put to death. And that's a whole new matrix. And the old Adam doesn't want any part of that dying. And that's why there's the struggle. Because the old Adam in us, that sinful nature, doesn't want to live outside of himself. He wants to live only for himself. Well, with the matrix of Christ, who's done it all, the old Adam is put to death daily for the sake of other people. That's where the struggle comes in.
It strikes me that Christ lived always outside of himself. I mean, I think we can say unequivocally that there was nothing Christ ever did to serve self. It was all done for others, namely for you and for me.
That's correct.
So are we really talking here in the life of sanctification about Christ's life being lived out through us? That means it forces us outside ourselves into our neighbor.
That's exactly what Paul teaches to the Galatians. He says, it's not I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. In other words, how does the Lord get his work done in the world? He uses me and you, his Christians, his believers, his baptized, and through us, he helps the neighbor in need. He uses us as his hands and his mouth. That's why in Dr. Luther's 1520 little tract called Freedom of the Christian, he says, we are then like little Christs to the neighbor. And we learn how to do this by going to the sacrament, by the way, the sacrament of the altar.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you go to the sacrament, and there the Lord Jesus takes all of your rot, your filth, and your gunk, and he says, give it to me, I'll take it. And now your sins are forgiven. Now that's love. That's love. And so then we learn not only how to believe in Jesus, but then also how to love. And that's why the post-communion collect is so sweet. You know, strengthen our faith in you, and then in fervent love toward one another. If you want to learn how to love, you want to have to do your vocation in love, you go to the sacrament.
We several years ago, were kind of on an ongoing basis critiquing The Influence of the Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren's famous book, wherein he outlines five purposes that every Christian needs to find, discover, and live out in his life. We were critiquing this, and a Lutheran pastor emailed me. His church, no surprise, was using the 40 Days of Purpose. And he said, well, Lutherans don't have anything comparable to this teaching. That's why I'm using the book. And I wrote back, and I said, yeah, we do. It's called Vocation. And
right.
We kind of outlined what we have been talking about here so far. This is where good works are found, in the neighbor. And his response, I thought, was very interesting. I'd like you to react to it. He said, well, that's all fine and good, but if that really worked, then someone would have sold 40 million copies about Vocation. As it is, they haven't. The Purpose-Driven Life has sold 40 million copies.
The Small Catechism has sold probably billions. And the Small Catechism is all about what we're talking about today, because at the end of it all is the Table of Duties. And I think one of the problems in the Lutheran Church in America, whether it be the Missouri Synod, ELCA, Wells, you name it, is that Table of Duties has been neglected. I was never taught it when I was a student. And I teach it here as a pastor. And then secondly, I think what was lacking in catechesis, both adult and youth, was the commandments. You'll notice how the commandments not only show us our sin, but then for the sake of life in this world, for service to the neighbor. You'll notice, for instance, we should fear and love God so that we do things for people, right? Fifth commandment, so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor, but help and support him in every physical need. And I think that's been lacking too, that positive aspect, your vocation, how you do this.
Finally,
the Small Catechism sold millions.
What is the comfort in Scripture's genuine teaching of good works found in our neighbor, lived in the calling that God has given to each and every one of us? What's the comfort there, Pastor Kuhlman, with 1 minute?
The comfort is, first of all, that I am saved for Christ's sake. I don't have to work on my salvation. It's done. I am forgiven for his sake. And so my life is not lived to get saved. My life is just in service to the people that God has put in my life to be a little Christ for them. And the Lord uses me as his hands and mouth to get that done. And so, you know, in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, so when you have done everything you were told to do, just say, you know, we are only unworthy servants, and we just did our duty, and we just leave it up to the Lord.
Pastor Brent Kuhlman is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He's authored an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled, The Lord Has Good Use for You. You can find out more about this great magazine for high school and college age youth at issuesetc.org. Click on demand, or you can call them toll free, Higher Things magazine, 1-888-448-2359, 1-888-448-2359, Higher Things magazine. Pastor Kuhlman, thanks for being our guest. Give my best to Zook.
Oh, I will, and to your family as well.
All right. By the way, I have a forthcoming Issues Etc. journal article called Sheep Don't Keep Track, Stop Measuring Your Moral Progress. The journal should be out sometime soon. There's some technical difficulties to work out, but it will be available sometime soon. You'll find that article, Sheep Don't Keep Track, Stop Measuring Your Moral Progress, in the next Issues Etc. journal. So here it is. Whether you're talking about your justification, your salvation, or your sanctification, that is the life of good work fruits that are brought forth by Christ in your life. Whether you're talking about justification or sanctification, it's not in you. It's not about you, and it's not in you. Your salvation is not found in you. It's found in Christ, outside of you. And your sanctification, it is found outside of you as well, in Christ and in your neighbor. No one is excluded from this. No one qualifies as not my neighbor, because Christ died for all, and because the good works that he brings forth in your life as purely as a gift and a result of his good works given to you, therefore everyone around you, whoever it may be. And this is genuine Christian freedom, free from the to-do list, free from the laundry list, free from the worry about whether you're getting it right, because it's not in you. It's in Christ, and it's in your neighbor, and it's for them. We'll be right back.
And all that he gave you, what he did on that cross, is more than enough. Look around you.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.